Welcome to the NABC Guardians of the Game podcast, where we go inside what makes a coach a coach. The Guardians of the Game podcast is a production of the National Association of Basketball Coaches and Learfield IMG College. Brought to you by Wilson, proud to be the official basketball of NCAA March Madness. Shop the official NCAA game ball on Wilson.com. Now, here's your host, Tim Doyle.
Welcome back to another episode of the NABC Guardians of the Game podcast. I'm your host, Tim Doyle, alongside Indiana State. I want to say legendary coach, because when you look at all-time wins, second on the all-time wins chart, Greg Lansing in his 11th year. Coach, when I say that, 11th season, second on the all-time wins chart, does that mean anything to you?
It means I've been here a long time. You know, I used to think I was a young head coach. Now that's not the case.
Indiana State, would you say they took a chance on you? Because, you know, we've talked to so many different coaches here that had so many interesting stories. You know, Roy Williams opened up, and I had to ask him. I go, Roy, I didn't call him Roy, but I wanted to. I said, Coach Williams, I said, your first job was Kansas. I go, that's never going to happen ever again. What was your story like for some of the young coaches out there or some of the aspiring coaches, the road that you took?
Yeah, you know, my road is different than most nowadays, because, you know, I didn't have my last name wasn't any, I wasn't no great Division I player. I wasn't well known. I'm a high school coach's kid. So I hit every step on the way there, from grad assistant to high school head coach to a volunteer to a restricted earnings to the third assistant to second to associate head. Then I just happened to be here under Coach McKenna. When he took a job out at Oregon, and I'd been here a while, and I was fortunate enough to get the job. And believe me, I'm very fortunate to have the job that I have, and just appreciative of it, because there's not that many Division I head coaching jobs.
Along the way, at all the different stops, at all the different jobs, what was the best advice/lesson that you learned?
Jim Hallahan, who just passed, was with Johnny Hoar at Iowa State, and I was a graduate assistant, and I had a job to at University of South Dakota. I had a chance to take a Division II head or assistant job, but I also applied for some high school jobs in Iowa. And he said, take the high school job. You'll never regret it. There's nothing like being a head coach. And I did. That was two of the best years of my life. I was young, and I learned a lot about being a head coach.
What have you learned about basketball in the great state of Indiana? You know, playing in the Big Ten like I did, you know, you could argue that some of the states, whether it's Michigan or Ohio, maybe football first states, but we all know in Indiana, basketball rules. What have you learned most about the Hoosier State?
Just how important it is. You know, it's a fiber of life in Indiana. And I'm a high school coach's kid, so it was a part of my life since I was born, all day, every day. You know, I learned real quick it's not okay to lose. But you come over here in Indiana, and you all these smaller communities. I mean, Indianapolis is a great city and a lot of good basketball. But you go throughout the state and all these smaller communities, and it's just it's a way of life. It's a fiber of life, and it's very important to each community.
You know, what's so interesting about the state is there's so many quality college programs. Yeah. And you know, when you think about the pantheon of college basketball, Indiana State had its moment in the sun too, obviously with Larry Bird playing there late in the 70s. But how hard is it on the recruiting trail when you got Purdue, Indiana, Notre Dame, Butler? I mean, it's just so many teams right now that are quote unquote national names. How is it trying to thrust Indiana State into the spotlight again?
Well, you know, and that's not the only thing, Tim, is everybody comes here to recruit, you know, because this is a state where there's great high school coaches, there's great AU programs. So everyone comes in to recruit Indiana. So it gets over recruited. And, you know, we're not bumping heads with Indiana and Purdue and Butler much in recruiting. We have to recruit guys that can play at that level. Cause if you don't have five or six or seven guys that can play in the Big Ten on your roster, you probably don't have a chance to be in the upper half of our league. But it's very over-recruited, but we recruit hard. We recruit local and then spread our way out. And from coast to coast, north, south, it doesn't matter. We'll recruit wherever we need to get our type of guy.
You mentioned the Valley, and that's going to be my next question because I've covered the Missouri Valley and I want to know your thoughts about it. But first, when you look at an Indiana kid, do they have kind of the characteristics? Now, we're Midwest guys. I can't believe I'm a Midwest guy now. 17 years I've been in the Midwest after, I'm sure you can hear my accent growing up on the East Coast. But is there kind of characteristics to an Indiana basketball player?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, again, growing up in Iowa, we're Midwest as well. So I think kids in Iowa have it. You might be more apt in Iowa to play multiple sports like I did. But Indiana, yeah, it's guys that know how to play basketball. You know how to play basketball, very good basketball IQ for the most part, playing hard, playing unselfishly, just doing those things. So those, you know, when we go out and we look at different guys, it's how good a teammate he is, how hard he plays, what's his skill level, and, you know, go on down the list. But we don't just try to accumulate talent here. We try to get, build a team and get guys that fit what we want. And we're blessed. I mean, we got high character guys, man. We have really good guys that's a joy to be around every day. And I don't have to worry about them away from here. They know how to act, and they know when they go around Terre Haute that all eyes are on them. And every decision they make is a decision that they make for their teammates and the coaching staff. So it's important to get the right guys.
Yeah, expectations are pretty high in Terre Haute for your squad this year. You got some veterans coupled with some young guys. When you look overall at the Valley, what do you need to do to compete every year and to be that upper echelon team?
We do have the talent. We got very good returners. We added seven guys, so that's more than what we've ever done here. And we lost one of our guys that was going to be in the mix with a ruptured Achilles a couple weeks ago. But you're going to have good fortune this year, Tim, you know, with the COVID, with the injuries. We haven't even had our full roster for one practice, and that goes way back to the summer, because whether it be somebody in quarantine or somebody in being on pause or somebody hurt, you're going to have some good fortune and being able to deal with adversity. You know, I'm really proud of our guys, how they've handled this guy not being able to practice, that guy not being able to practice. It's just like that, I guess you'd say, that football mentality and next man up, and our guys have done a great job with it.
Has there been any positives from a head coaching position that have come out of this pandemic? Because, Coach, all I've heard is the negatives. Can't practice, one guy in the court, Zoom calls, this and that. Has there been any positive from all of this?
Well, yeah, that's one thing we preach every day is our guys haven't complained. And we just said, we're gonna be positive. We're going to move forward. It could be a lot worse. I mean, you know people. We all know people that have had it tougher, people that have lost family members, people that have lost their job, lost their businesses. So we're awfully fortunate just to be able to be on a team and get a chance to play a game. So that is one thing. We are going to stay positive because there's a lot of student athletes on this campus that got their seasons taken away from them. So we're just fortunate to have the opportunity. And believe me when I tell you, we're going to take that to heart with the way we play.
Well, you are outstanding at home. You have a renovated arena there. Fan base is excited. What are the challenges every year with scheduling? Because people go, ooh, Missouri Valley team. Uh-oh. Like, I remember when I played at Northwestern, I was like, why don't we play Loyola? Why don't we play UIC? And they were like, last 2 years we played UIC, they actually beat us. Yeah. What are the challenges for Indiana State? Because obviously you got a lot of quality teams to play, but are there some kind of rules and regulations in that scheduling process?
By far the worst part of the job. And I probably shouldn't say it, but I've made the statement that people lie more in scheduling than they do in recruiting. You know, you got something lined up and then all of a sudden they're playing somebody else for more money. We've always played. I mean, we're at Purdue and at St. Louis after we played Division II Truman tonight. So we've always played a very difficult schedule. I haven't worried. We've been in great MTEs, although we couldn't this year. We've seen the Bahamas. We've seen Honolulu. You know, we've been all over the country. But yeah, it's very difficult. And I've just never worried about my overall head coaching record. You know, you got to get wins. You got to get home games. We've always challenged our guys because I was in the Big Ten like you. I was in there for 7 years and I want our guys to play in all the top venues and play the teams that are in the top 20. And we've done it here and we've had success.
Now, you spoke openly about being let go as an assistant at Iowa earlier in your career. What lessons did you learn from that experience?
Well, one thing I like, everybody gets fired. You know, this is a business where good coaches get let go all the time.
I'm in a business too, coach. Hey, everyone gets fired from TV. I've had my ups and downs as well. So well, I understand that.
You're doing the right thing with all your sports book in there. You know, like you got another career going all the time. Maybe I'll call you for a job here someday on that. But yeah, it's, you know, you get let go. Good coaches get let go all the time. I've just been fortunate when that happened at Iowa, which was a dream school for me to be in. I was always a Hawkeye fan, still love Coach McCaffrey and his guys there. So I'm still always a fan. But what it taught me was the phone rang and people were, hey, I'm sorry, what happened? You know, I had some interest from other people, but what I really did, Tim, and you don't get a chance to do that in this profession, is I took that month right there and I chilled out. You know, I you're going so hard as an assistant, you never take a day off, no vacation, you're working like crazy. And I just kind of really chilled out and had a chance at Central Florida. And back and a chance to come back here with Coach Waltman at Indiana State. And I jumped at the opportunity here.
What advice would you give young coaches out there that have had kind of those setbacks? And I'm sure there has to be a fork in the road. And it is similar with TV, because I think you get into coaching, you're young, you're passionate. And then as you get older, you know, you get married, you have kids. And then it's like, what did I do? And I know I've had those conversations with myself. What advice would you give coaches out there that have kind of gone through that quote unquote setback?
For one, I'd say keep your head where your ass is at. You know, I mean, there's so many guys in this profession that are looking for that next gig or a better job or a bigger school or stuff like that. You know, do the job that you have and appreciate the job you have. Do the best you can at the job you have every day, and other things will take care of themselves. And again, you know, a lot of people lose their jobs, you switch jobs, you go to different places. So be very appreciative of the job you have and do the best you can with that one.
Well, you have a unique job because you coach at a school where one of the GOATs played at, Larry Bird. How often do you get asked about that?
Not as much anymore. You know, maybe it's with people, you know, because I've been here so long, I know everybody. You know, we talk about Larry. Shoot, his two brothers, Mark and Eddie, are in town. I see those guys all the time, and I see his teammates. There's guys, you know, four or five guys from that team that are live in town. I feel like I got to bow to them every time I see them. You know? Carl Nick's up the road working for the Pacers, been great to me. So you get asked about it maybe by, well, yeah, Larry Bird, you know, people you don't know, but I see so many people every day that I know. It's just, it's like that team played, that was that last year's team. You know, they talk about it like it was yesterday, and they should. And for to do what they did was pretty incredible. And obviously one of the best ever to play it played here.
You know, it's funny. You may bow to them now. You're second all time in wins, coach. You know, it's like as that hair, I remember when it used to be a little bit darker, but as it gets whiter and whiter,
I don't know how you color it or what.
You want to also, I started to color it just on the sideburns, but yeah, I do. I haven't started the full wig process of coloring it, but they're going to have to start bowing down to you. I mean, all time wins. You're actually chasing that mark. May get there this year. Who knows how many games you're going to end up playing, but has that like sunk in yet that you might be the quote unquote most wins ever in Indiana State?
Just, you know, the only thing is that this is the last year of my contract here. Well, you know, we're hoping to have a good year and I can extend that and continue being the head coach. There's nothing more I want to do than be at Indiana State and be the head coach. But again, it's a crazy profession. I don't think about that stuff at all, Tim. I don't. I just enjoy being around the staff that I have. They're great dudes. We have unbelievable guys on our team. So I guess you know, just like when you ask for advice, I take my own advice. Get up in the morning, be happy. You know, me, Christy, and I love it here in Terre Haute, and we just enjoy every day and try to stay as positive as possible. And I'm gonna do that this year. I'm gonna enjoy every day.
Gene Katie, the former Purdue coach, came to my wedding and he gave me a cash gift, which is important, all right? Because I'm an East Coast guy. We don't give gifts, all right? He gave cash gift, okay. But him and I used to go out for a few makers after some television shows at Big Ten Network. And he told me that when he was the head coach of Purdue, he felt that every season that he was going to get fired. that his job was on the line. Now, when you look at the arc of your career, right, made a tournament early, some postseasons, then some, I don't know, leveling out, however you want to describe it in a nice way. Did those thoughts kind of enter your head as a head coach?
No. I mean, you know how you deal with the media. The media will talk about it. But, you know, we've done things that have never been done here at Indiana State. We had an NCAA tournament team, and there's only been a few of those. Well, we've been in the NIT twice. And so three of the seven postseasons in Indiana State history we're a part of. And it's a, you know, it's a hard place to win. We don't have all the bells and whistles of other places, but I like the blue collar attitude. I've never worried about what's going to happen. What I do worry about is in something like that, you worry about your staff, you know, and you worry about the young guys on your team to take care of them. So it's, hey, I've had a great run at a great place. I love it here. This will always be home, and we're going to make the most of it with this year's team for sure.
Well, you're the son of a longtime high school coach. Was there a point in your life where you knew that this is what you wanted to do? Can you pinpoint, like, Greg Lansing sitting in home ec in seventh grade? He's like, I'm not going to be any kind of like, I'm not going to be doing any of this. When did you know that coaching was going to be in your future?
Well, I didn't take home ec. I took shop. You might have taken home ec back there, but I was.
You know, I took home ec.
Yeah.
You know, I make. You know, I make.
All the girls were in there. Yeah, that's why.
I wasn't stupid. Yeah.
You know, dummy. I'm a coach's kid, and that's all I ever thought about doing. I mean, I don't know if I had another thought. I thought about one time, hey, I want to be able to carry a gun and maybe be in a Secret Service or FBI, but I've always wanted to coach. I got my master's in counseling, you know, and a lot in psychology. So, you know, you deal with that on a daily basis with these young guys and the people around you. So I always wanted to be a coach, and I'm fortunate to be able to walk around town and people call me that.
I'm going to create a scenario for you, all right? You're walking around town. Larry Bird is on the other side of the street, okay? Does he know who you are? Does he? Because here's why I ask, okay? I played for Mike Jarvis at St. John's, okay? Recruited me, came to my high school games. I actually went to St. John's. If we're on opposite sides of the street, no way Mike Jarvis knows who I am. I was on his team, for crying out loud. Like, I was one of his players. Like, I was always like, does he actually know who I am? Let's just say I only lasted a year at St. John's. Maybe that was the reason why. All right, you, Bird, walking across the street, does he know who you are?
Well, sure. Well, I mean, he's been really good to me. He speaks very highly of the program, always does. And he knows all that team know what's going on here, and they're very supportive. I always go up to – we can't right now with COVID, but we've always gone to their – practices, their summer workouts before the draft, their training camp. And Larry's always been tremendous to me. And again, Carl Nix works for the Pacers too. So those guys have been nothing short of terrific to me. Now, he doesn't come down here and hang out with me or anything like that. he knows who I am, and when we'd have a conversation.
You know, because when I'm on calling games or I see someone at the Final Four, they just look at me and point, like they kind of know who I am. So then to avoid the embarrassment of like, oh yeah, weren't you the shooter? And I wanted to be like, dude, that was the last thing I could do. But you just see a white guy with a comb over, you think I'm the shooter? Like, no, I was not the shooter, coach, but my name's Tim Doyle. I always say my name, that way it avoids the embarrassment, because I'm like a G-list celebrity. Like, they kind of sort of know who I am, but they don't. So I try to avoid that. In that type of reason. All right, now, last question for you, all right? You're growing up in Iowa. Obviously, no pro sport. Iowa, by the way, my favorite city, coach, because two things they care about, sports and beer. And those, to me, are really high priorities on my list. When you're growing up in Iowa, who was your guy, though? Right? You coach at Larry's school. Was Larry your guy, or were you a Magic guy, a Dr. J guy? Who was your guy?
I never told him, but I was Dr. J guy.
Yeah,
and you know, him and Larry didn't get along too. Larry didn't have any friends when he was playing on the other teams anyway. But I was Dr. J all the way, baby, and still am. I got a picture of him with when I went to a NBA game, and it's one of my prized possessions. So I wasn't a Celtics; I was Sixers and Dr. J.
Do you have any memories of those matchups because I was just, you know, when you fall down a rabbit hole and you're like, you start reading, you know, Bird came back from 3-1. I think that was an 80 against Philadelphia. Then Moses won the MVP, beat Bird out for a few times. Is there any memory between Dr. J and Larry?
Just, I mean, I was even before that with Dr. J, with World Be Free and Daryl Dawkins. And then they brought Moses over and finally could got back past the, I remember the Celtics chanting beat LA when the Sixers finally got past the Celtics. So I remember a lot of that stuff.
This has been awesome. You're at Indiana State 11 years. Talk about, you could be the GOAT. You know, get Greg Lansing's name on the court for crying out loud. Is there a petition started for that right now?
Enough of that. You know, we already got the name of your book, right? Pivots, Pump Fakes, and Hair Grease. just let me write the foreword.
You know, it used to be a hair gel. You know, when you had a little bit longer of salad up there, I used to put like a little LA looks in my hair when you were at Iowa. Now I'm more of a pace guy, so I've kind of evolved. Hey, Coach, you had the beard last year, and now you're going to go clean shaven. Are we going to see this metamorphosis throughout the season?
I think what it was, I was lazy, I can't remember. It was a road game, and we had lost a couple in a row, and we won that game, so I just let it ride, and we went on win a few in a row, and I finally shaved. I can't stand it when I get too much of it on my face. It's gray anyway, but keep the hair. I get my hair cut every week, keep it nice and high and tight, but I'm not a beard guy.
Yeah, my wife sometimes makes me grow the beard. Then that way she dims her eyes a little bit, like she thinks it's another man. That's how we spice it up. So that's kind of a Doyle family secret. It might be a little bit too much for the NABC podcast, but we really appreciate you joining for another great episode of Guardians of the Game podcast, talking to Greg Lansing here. If you have not seen his squad, Tyreek Key and a bunch of others that could light it up. They're going to be a real threat in the Missouri Valley Conference this year. They've been dominant at home, and we thank the GOAT of Terre Haute, Greg Lansing, for joining the podcast. Thanks so much, Coach.
Appreciate you, Tim, and tell Chicago Joe to keep wearing that Indiana State gear.
Early recruiting, for sure. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.